CliffCentral.com.
All righty. Speaking of podcasts, I love that promo of Tim Maurice. He spoke to Rory Sutherland, who's just fascinating. I mentioned the other day he was the boss at Ogilvy. He might even still be the big ad agency. What a clever man. Very interesting discussion. And I listened to the podcast the other day, which was awesome too. Speaking of shows you might want to listen to, today, Paolo and Barrett and Dorry, who are all still obsessed with the 80s. It's very embarrassing, actually. No, it really is. I mean, like, I like the 80s too, but I wouldn't do a show about it. The three of them are totally obsessed with the 80s. They've never moved on. So Paolo, Barrett, and Dorry have got Graham Russell. Do you know who that is, Sia?
No.
Okay, there was a band from Australia, two dudes, called Air Supply. Does that ring any bells?
Air Supply does.
Okay. Do you know any songs?
I can feel it coming in the air.
No. No.
What's that?
Do you know, okay, do you know a song that goes like this? It goes, God, how does it start?
I'm actually just going to Google to avoid embarrassing myself further.
I know just how to
whisper, I do know Air Supply.
And I know just how to cry.
Yes.
I know just where to find the answers, and I know just how to lie. Those guys. So, Graham Russell.
I know All Out of Love.
That's right. I'm all out of love. I'm so lost without you. That's it. Okay, so these guys.
Okay.
I mean, very few people would know who Graham Russell is, but they're very excited on that 80s show because they're going to be talking to him.
So, I know that. I mean, okay.
Listen, I will say this. Air Supply, I remember when we were, when I was judging Idols, I did a comparison of all the people who had the biggest range in voice. In other words, they could go from a very low note to a very high note, and they were able to cover like three or four octaves on the keyboard, which is tremendous. And Mariah Carey obviously can go right the way up, but she's also got really good low notes. So the guy from Air Supply, I'm not sure if it was Graham or the other dude, because I really don't know their names, sorry. But the one guy who sings most of the main parts and the high parts especially, an unbelievable range, just... like, never falsettos. He's just always, always on the mark. And they are still touring, by the way. How's that? They're still touring.
Wow.
They're both 70 and 71 years old, and they're still on tour. That's phenomenal. I mean, they're not, you know, they're not Rolling Stones old, but they are old, and they're still on tour. And that's pretty amazing, don't you think?
Goodness gracious, yeah.
Pretty wild. So they're talking to Graham Russell from Air Supply. And the full interview is going to be playing out on that 80s show today at 9 a.m. And it's repeated at 5 p.m. He's going to talk about how the band started, all their difficult years before they became successful, loads of great stories about other bands, life on the road, general music industry stuff from the 70s, 80s, and beyond. So don't miss that today. That's quite cool. I got an email from somebody, lots of feedback here. Do you want me to get to this quickly? I'll just throw this in because it's really well written. I love an email that's got bullet points. And Vince did that. He sent us an email with bullet points. So I'm going to go straight to Vince's email. So number one, just dumping my thoughts here, Gareth. Number one, I give zero shits about the Middle East, but you would also get death threats from Israelis if you were perceived to be pro-Palestine. Just saying, same, same, but different, still the same. Number two, I love the new thumbnail designs for YouTube. Oh, okay. Thank you very much. Yeah, those we've implemented this week. So thank you for that feedback, Vince. Number three, when can we get a shot of Joe Camino again to vaccinate us against financial illness? Sia, do you have an answer on that?
Okay, we can make that happen.
Okay, very good.
See, Vince, this is good. Send an email. Yeah,
right.
Put it in our suggestion box.
We work on it immediately. And because it's in bullet point, we know what we're dealing with. Thank you, Vince. It's so very professional, this email. I love it. He says, is Ben still stuck under a fat girl? No, Ben was having terrible luck on dating apps, and I think he's kind of given up now. But we may get him on at some point to get an update on that. Please, can we get Gord on Fridays? You see, we've addressed this at the start of the show. I don't want to go back over old territory, but you can go and listen to the first 15 minutes of this morning's show, and you'll hear all of that. Monday, you kept calling the electric chair the electric chair. Not once did you refer to it as Sparky. That's what it's more commonly known as. I didn't know that, that it's called Sparky. I thought it was just the electric chair. So you've taught me something here as well, Vince. Thank you very much. And finally, he says, this is bullet point number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, is, do you perhaps know of a website or platform for people with ideas for good businesses that require funding? Not like GoFundMe, but rather for investment purposes. I'm looking to dabble with some venture capital. Ooh. No, I don't. But, you know, we did that really interesting feature. In fact, it was a series of podcasts with Virgin a long time ago. And we were looking for small businesses.
What was it called again?
I can't remember, but it was all about small entrepreneurs and kind of them starting their businesses. We also obviously had Naked Insurance sponsored a feature where they went and found small businesses and told us how they work. And there have been a number of others. In fact, last year in December, we did a series of features with what was it called? Remember the small business thing?
We're useless
at this stuff. I'm sorry. We're the last people you need to ask about where to put your money. Sorry. No. I'm just going to answer no to that.
I'm trying to remember without having to like go through my folders. Wait, last year's one was...
I've struck a blank. But I do remember it. We were talking about Batu shoes.
Ozo.
Ozo, thank you. Yeah. O-Z-O-W.
It was
thank
you. Ozo, okay.
Ozo, that's correct.
Dream Tropin, the one.
Coming back to you now.
Wait, was it Dream?
Yes, it was Dream Tropineer.
I'm not going to sing.
No, Dream Tropineer, and then Ozo was last year. So go and look those up, and you might get some ideas there. And maybe those people are looking for some funding. Who knows? But I would start off with those. I don't know how else to advise you. Okay, and then he ends the email with peace and love, peace and love, which is excellent. So thank you, Vince. Very nice. Always good to get the feedback from someone who's got some good criticism, some constructive ideas, and some things that we have to do for homework. So it's great to hear from Vince.
It might sound like a doof thing to say,
yeah,
but I've started challenging myself to try to remember things without instantly going to Google them or to go and search for them.
Mm-hmm.
And try to do this in your own life, and you'll realize just how much you rely on Google.
Yes.
Like if you know, if you're at dinner and you're talking about, oh, that movie with and think about how long it takes you to remember it on your own accord, yeah, and how stupid you'll feel. Where's humans are dwarf, man.
Yeah. Eleutheria says she suspects there's a note of facetiousness in my tone when I say I love bullet points. No, I really do. You know, I was saying to Sia yesterday, I had such a pleasant day. I was sorting things out at my house. I was tidying up, cleaning out drawers and cupboards, throwing away stuff that is taking up space, expired things in the fridge. I just tidied everything up and I feel so good about it. Oh, I love it. I'm so happy when I'm organized. I'm not being facetious at all, Eleutheria. Mm. It's my thing. Being bullet points are awesome in an email.
Okay.
All right, Paul has a suggestion for Vince here. You can go to the Innovation Bridge portal for investment opportunities. Okay.
Okay.
Paul knows what he's talking about, definitely more than me. Gord is as reliable as a wet fart, says Adam. Like that time that Sia shat his pants. not a week goes by on the show where Sia shitting his pants doesn't come up as a discussion point. All right. Let's hand over to Sia because he's got some interesting things to say to us about like these shops with these savings schemes and how you get sucked into their crazy marketing ideas and then you end up spending way more money than you should.
Gosh, how silly. Off the bat, how many of these store cards do you have? These store cards, mm-mm, point system.
None.
Oh, are you not one of those people?
No. They always ask me at the till, do you have one of these super saver or this kind of club or this kind of shopper card? Or what? I never have any of them. Never.
I'm just trying to think now. I have six of those.
How do you fit them all in your wallet? Here's my problem. This is my wallet. Okay, look here. This is my wallet. That's my whole wallet there. Mm-hmm. Look how thin that is. Mm-hmm. That's everything.
Okay. Oh, no, I can't
credit,
like that.
Credit card on this side.
Yeah.
Gym card and ID. And in the middle, there's some cash. Look here. It's a little bit of cash. That's it. That's all. That's my whole wallet. If I carry more than that around, I'd go crazy. No. You have a fat wallet like this with 200 cards in it? Oh, no.
2 seconds. It's around here.
Get it. I want to see. Can't stand that. Then where do you put it? You put it in your pocket? You know, it's a...
No, now I can't even find where it is.
Uh-oh. You've lost your wallet. Bad news.
Oh, here it is.
See? Yeah.
Sorry, I have everything in here.
Fat wallet. Let me see.
Well, I have like two different designations of a store card. This is one of the savings card. Mm-hmm. Another savings card. Mm-hmm. Another savings card. Another savings card.
What a nightmare.
Card. So what are we on now? Four? Oh, five? Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's more. Six of these store saving cards, and they're actually not like, I feel like you get duped because they really don't work much. I read this article yesterday, and this is what prompted this thought for me about analyzing a grocery store, and they say if you spend X amount, you get, well, let me just be specific here. But they actually ended up working out that if you spend 1,000 rand, you get a mug for free. 1,000 rand to get a mug. But the way
you probably just buy the mug the way for like 200 rand.
But the way in which they've explained it, they make it seem like you actually want to spend more. They incentivize you to
Is there a reason you don't want to show us your whole wallet, or is it? I just want to see how big it is when it's all. No, turn it on its side. I want to see how fat it is. Okay,
The cards are out now.
You put those cards back in, and it's like twice that size. Then, how do you fit that into a pocket? You know what I mean? Yeah, but Kim, all of those cards are as fat as my whole wallet.
Yes. By the way, some of these, you know, like I still have a youth card, and they're
you're not a youth anymore. You can't get away with that. Yes. So apparently there are all these apps.
I actually do fight for it as much as I can.
Someone on the comments here is saying there's an app where you can upload all the cards. It's called FIDME or whatever it is. MM says that. That's how they spell it. FIDME. You can also use the app StoCard or StoreCard that you could actually put these on, and then you don't have to carry around the card itself. I like this. This is good. You see, this is where technology helps us. Most of those reward cards are now digital, according to Carl. You can keep them on your phone, and they scan your phone at the till. Andrew says, again, you can download that app. So that's all very useful. I also hate a fat wallet, says Andrew. Yes. No need for anything fat in your life. None. None whatsoever.
Let's not take it there.
Even full fat milk. Hey, did you hear that in America now, speaking of fat? No, seriously, there's a real thing going on. The airlines are now going to weigh people before they get on planes. Some airlines.
No.
Yes.
Air
travel is already so undignified, and now they're going to make it even worse by like making you hop on a scale when you check in. Because, you know, I mean, it's not just to cause trouble. They're not trying to be rude or to ostracize fat people or to shame them or anything like that. You know, a plane, if it's too full, it's too heavy, it can't take off, right? You have to work those weights out very, very carefully. So, in other words, what's happened with people over the course of the last maybe 30 years is people have become heavier. So the plane needs to be calibrated, fuel, lift, luggage, overall carrying capacity. They need to figure this out very carefully. The pilots do a calculation, and if it's too heavy, the plane won't take off. So it's a safety thing. And because people have become much heavier, they used to figure, okay, well, we can fit, you know, 60 or 80 people in a plane of a certain size, because the average person will weigh, let's say, 80 to 90 kilograms, average adult. Now they're saying people are so fat, they're so grossly overweight. Humans have become, especially in America, humans have become so fat that they can't work on the average weight being 80 or 90 kilograms anymore. They now have to work on the average weight being 110 and upwards.
But wait, that seems like they'd have to do that before the day of the flight.
Correct.
Because you can't troubleshoot when you get there. What are you going to do if you get there and then people are overweight and then there's luggage? You can't tell someone, hey, please turn around because you're fat.
Moo. You have to get on the scale, like a weighbridge.
Oh my gosh, how undignified.
You have to get on the scale. And then they're going to, I wish they'd announce it to everyone around there. Can you imagine? They're like, all right, Denise, get on the scale. Denise gets on the scale. Denise weighs 140 kilograms, everybody.
Oh.
People at the back of the line are clapping. And can you imagine if the pilot actually said, ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking. Today we are going to take this flight to Durban, and unfortunately we are 140 kilograms overweight, which is precisely the weight of Sarah, who's in 12B. Sarah, if you could just get into the aisle and grab your bag and get off the plane, please, then we'll be ready to take off. Thank you, Sarah. Bye-bye. Imagine.
That is mortifying for people with serious weight issues. I don't care. I'd saunter on.
It might be an incentive. It might be a way for people to lose weight if they know that they're not going to be able to get on the plane because they're going to be too fat and they're going to be called out for it. That's what I think.
It could also be an incentive if that means I could pack more luggage.
Yeah,
you know, well, I'm smaller.
I've always said, if I have to pay extra for my luggage when it's overweight, you know, if you come back from an overseas trip and you've bought people presents or whatever, and sometimes your luggage is like 2 or 3 kilograms overweight, and then they look at you and they're like, "Well, you're gonna have to pay extra for that." And I'm always like, "But why? I weigh much less than that person. They're not paying more. They're at least 40 kilograms heavier than me." And you're like, why do I have to pay more? That doesn't seem fair. I reckon they weigh you and your luggage. So if you're an enormously fat person, you must just make sure your luggage is very, very light, you know? So if you have very light luggage plus you're fat, then it evens out. So you get about the same. And I reckon that's how it should work.
I feel like this idea is just not going to catch on. I don't see it happening. It will just not work.
I think it's great that they're doing this. So does Carl. He says, it's about fucking time they weighed people at airports. Some fat fuck is allowed as much luggage as thin old me. I've been saying this for years. Fat fucks get one small bag. There's a lot of anger there with Carl. I just want to point out that I'm quoting Carl there. That's not how I feel.
Hey, this idea won't fly.
Thank you. Well done, Sia. That's very good. Very good.
I try.
Yes. Yeah, you know, there's some other points being made here about like the seats and the size of the seats and how that's also had to be expanded over years because people have become larger. And
what would really help is like, what if they had an over 90 kg airline?
Well, that's what I'd do is I'd launch Fat Air, you know, and then Fat Air would be, I mean, you wouldn't be harassed. Let's just put it that way. I'm the CEO of Fat Air, and at Fat Air, we don't body shame people. You can come on no matter how fat you are. Of course, we can have fewer people on the plane. there'll be less people on this flight than, which might actually be, for some people, could be a plus. I've always said there should be, because we're increasingly niching market segments out, right? Like there are such niche segments now. You could have Fat Air, which would only be for big people, but they're less seats and you pay a little bit more. Then you get No Children Air, which would be like for people who don't want to travel with screaming children, and you pay maybe an extra $500 or something for a flight, but you guaranteed not to have kids on the flight with you screaming. Then you could have single people air if you're looking to meet people while you travel from place A to place B, you could meet other single people.
Yeah, with bigger bathrooms then for hooking up.
For mile high club stuff. Yeah. Good thinking, sir. You could have
Here's an innovation for Fat Air.
Yes.
Let's be real. If Fat Air is going to actually
gotta have a buffet.
Start crashing, they
gotta have
everyone
a buffet.
There is going to die. So in an emergency, you won't get an oxygen thingy fall from the ceiling. Instead, you'll just have like a chicken drumstick.
Yes, good idea. Or cake. Yes. Cake or a chicken drumstick. So when the plane
will dangle in front of you.
You imagine like the captain on Fat Air, and obviously it's going to be a fat captain as well, right? So
hello everybody, I'm your captain. Welcome to this Fat Air flight. We're about to take off for Cape Town. It's going to be 2 hours, but we might just take an extra half hour because the buffet is open at the back of the plane. Please help yourself. If anything runs out, then I'm sorry. We've got the maximum carrying capacity on this plane, so obviously, you know, what goes in must come out. Please don't use the loo. If you have already done so on the ground, we're most appreciative of that, because last time someone left the toilet in a terrible state after having a whole lot of cakes and pies. So welcome to Fat Air. Thank you very much. We are going to take off in... Pass me another piece of cake, please.
Imagine that. That would be great. I'd like that. And then you could just be yourself, you know? There should also be slob air.
Yeah, you'll be happy.
How about slob air, where people who don't wear shoes, or people who squeeze their zits, or people who haven't brushed their teeth, or people who have clothes and with holes in their underwear or whatever, those people can also fly. Don't you think? And they can put their feet up on the seat in front of them, and they could be slobs, because on that plane it's okay.
Yes.
Right.
I'd advocate gay air as well. And that will just be like, do you remember Britney Spears' Toxic music video?
That just
she
plays.
Was an air hostess.
Yes. They all
that
dress
should
like
be
that.
Gay air.
Yeah, gay air, and they can all dress like Britney.
We're singing, there's sparklers everywhere. And you know what? Gay air actually will not add to air pollution, because that plane will just emit glitter.
Yes, it will. That's true. And can you imagine all the drag queens who would be auditioning to be cabin crew? It would be amazing, right, Sia?
Everyone would listen to that safety video, because it will be fabulous.
It'll be so entertaining. But also, you're going to get such sarky comments from the air hostess. She's going to be walking down with her trolley and like, chicken or beef, what do you expect? What do you think this is? Do you think this is Buckingham fucking Palace? They throw something onto your table or whatever.
But let's be real, gay air will not be serving chicken or beef. You know, we'll be serving like... hors d'oeuvres, something fabulous.
Some kind of, something on a stick. All right. I think we've got some business ideas here. I like this very much. Okay.
Absolutely.
So someone's saying that gay air could be called sausage air. How about that? All right. Mike says fat air won't take off. And how about woke air? Woke air, that's a good idea. You just have a whole bunch of people who complain about other people. They're just moaning the whole time about everyone else. Hey, Phil, what's happening, man?
Morning, guys. How are you?
Lekker. Phil Kutz is here. He is, we've spoken to Phil a couple of times. If this is the first time you've seen him, you haven't been paying attention. He's been with us a couple of months now on Cliff Central, and he's always got interesting things to tell us. Phil is in charge of a brilliant dealership. If you're ever in Ermelo, and I know for many people that's not necessarily a destination, but it's a busy place, and Phil's been busy over the last couple of months. He also deals all across the country, so it's not as if you have to go to Ermelo. He comes to you. Weren't you in Joburg yesterday, and now you're in Swaziland?
Yeah.
You drive around.
Yeah, coincidentally. How's the signal? Is it okay?
Yeah, yeah, it looks good. Everything's fine. But dude, how do you manage to drive such distances? Are you just used to it because you live in Ermelo and everything's far?
Yeah, well, I think you get used to it. I mean, I think that's the core. Yeah. I mean, we drive a lot. I mean, if you're in cars, you need to drive. So
sure.
That's probably part of the business.
And I mean, yeah,
so, yes,
you really get to test these cars properly. I've got friends who live in the Free State, and to them, a 2-hour drive is nothing. You know, if you tell me I have to get in the car and drive for 2 hours, to me, that's torture because I'm used to everything being really close. Ooh. But if you live in like Ermelo and you need to get to Joburg, you don't think about it. How long is that trip from Ermelo to Joburg?
It's about 2 hours.
Yeah,
it's a great road. I mean, you're on the N17, and then there's no traffic cops, so it's easy. Yeah.
No, that's good. That's always a big plus. So listen, I wanted to catch up with you because there's quite a lot of stuff we haven't spoken about in a while. I've been driving that the short wheelbase Pajero for a little while, and I really like it. The only thing that I wanted to tell you that I didn't like is the way I have to reach around like this for the seatbelt because I'm lazy. And the only thing I didn't like was the seatbelt. Everything else is pretty damn cool. And I haven't taken it off road. So I haven't used the diff lock or any of the lower gears or any of that stuff, but it drives beautifully. And I have to tell you, Phil, fuel efficiency, and it's a diesel that you gave me. Fuel efficiency is such a big deal these days because the price of the fuel is so high.
Sure.
And that car is just—it's unbelievable how little fuel it uses.
Oh, great! Yeah, wonderful. Yeah, I mean, since the last time we spoke, I mean, we actually tried to punt that specific vehicle on your show.
Yes.
And as we mentioned, I mean, the Pajeros will be—they will completely stop production now, forever. So we bought quite a few in. I mean, from the point of maybe this thing will become like an icon vehicle or some collector's item. So, yeah, we're fortunate. I mean, so I think all the short wheelbases, like the one you currently drive, I mean, you've got our last one. So we've been sold out.
Oh, really? You sold out completely?
So, yes, on all short wheelbases. So, yeah, that's quite a nice thing. I mean, a Pajero person, I mean, it's also a loyalty thing. I mean, the people that used to drive them, quite a few bought a new one, and now they're fine again for the next, 8, 9, 10 years or so. Yes.
So it's interesting you say that. First of all, congrats on selling out. I always love that because it's such good news. When you've made a bet on a car and you bought a few of them and you're always worried like, oh my God, are we going to sell these? And if you sell out immediately, that means you made the right call. But I've had probably about three or four of my friends who've said to me that is one of their favorite cars. And they really are. They're very cute. They got lots of space. If you put those seats down at the back, you've got huge storage space. If you put the seats up, you've still got enough of a boot. And obviously the long wheelbase, you've got even more space there. But it's a really great car.
Yeah.
So well done on that.
Yeah, you can see that. The long wheelbase is actually a 7-seater as well, an option. So not for adults, but I mean, you can still put up 2 seats in the back for kiddies or so, which is actually,
a 7-seater. I mean, what is this for, Mormon families or for like Catholics who've never had TV or whatever?
It could be our new company car. All of us can fit in
The whole of Cliff Central could fit in that. We can go on a tour of the country in that car.
Yes. Or Cliff Central commute.
You could put one person in the back to transport to Fat A as well.
Yeah, if you put all the seats down, you've got enough space to accommodate one person for Fat A. All right. Just generally, I'm always curious, and we've got George coming on just now, so he always has interesting info for us too. But I've always said, and I really do believe that you guys are in a unique position at DeWitt Motors because you're you're in a small town. I mean, Ermelo is not the smallest town in South Africa, but it's also not the biggest. So you get a real front row seat to how the South African economy is doing, because if you guys are in serious trouble in terms of car sales and people aren't buying used or new cars, it's a good indicator to the rest of us that there's a problem in the economy. And I think it's weird because we've definitely got two kinds of economy in South Africa. We've got very wealthy people who have not just weathered the storm of COVID, but they've actually made more money. And those people are probably buying cars, I would imagine. You're going to tell me in a minute if I'm right or not. And then there are people who've suffered enormously through COVID and have had to sell a whole lot of stuff and have really just gone into survival mode. So what's the story at your dealership? How's everything going?
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know if our situation is a copy paste throughout the country, but I mean, I've spoken to quite a few other dealers, and I briefly mentioned to you, and you more or less agree with the mate you know at a BMW shop.
Yeah.
So I mean, our cheapest car now in the range is around about 700,000 mark, which is an A class, which is already quite expensive for an entry level vehicle. And then, I mean, so the things that, what we've experienced in the last couple of months was, I mean, we're not selling anything below around about 1.1, 1.2 million. Sure. So it's almost like that market have disappeared and those people have moved to other brands and buying down. So they will start buying your Hyundais, Toyotas, smaller vehicles, and then vehicles over 2 million, 3 million, and I don't think we've ever sold so many of them on this current state. So there's definitely a trend towards, as you mentioned. I mean, I think the rich will just getting richer, and the poor become very poor. So
look, that's very sad, but I mean, I'm glad for you that you're selling high end cars. That's terrific news, right? I mean, that just shows you
The volume is down significantly. The volume is down significantly. Eh?
Okay.
So
all right.
We're selling 50% less to our runabout. So, but the price tag makes up for it. So, yes.
You told us this before, but I can't remember. What is the most expensive car that you've sold recently?
Well, I mean, your G Wagons, your G63, your Geländewagens, they run about 3.2, 3.3 mark. So, and then you can still add some extras as well. But yeah, I mean, that's probably the one that's the most sought after at the moment. It's quite scarce. So if you can get one, you're going to sell it quite quick. So yeah, you're lucky if you're getting a G63.
That's an awesome car though. I mean, isn't that the one that Malusiki Gaba's ex-wife Norma, she scratched and she was talking about at the State Capture Commission, right? All right.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I'm going to the game reserve next week with the family. We're doing a whole it's us and one of our other sort of family friends, and there's a whole bunch of us going with the kids and everything else. So I'm probably going to be driving a different car the next time we speak, and I'm excited about that too. This is your part of the world as well, and you also go to the Kruger National Park quite often. So what would you recommend is the best thing to take in those sort of circumstances?
No, I think if you are more than four people, I mean, if you can go with a bus, that will be wonderful. You know, so I thought of maybe trying to see, I think we are 99, yeah, everything has been submitted and so on, and I can give you a V class.
Awesome.
Which is the I can say top end range of our buses or mini buses that we sell.
I love it.
So, yes, yeah.
Space. Yeah, there's nothing better than having lots of space. If someone wants to lie down, there's like enough space for them to lie down. If you want to sit up and that, you know, everybody can see the windows are big, that's awesome. Nice. That sounds terrific.
Yes, yeah. No, okay, so you'll be leaving on Thursday, right about Thursday?
Yeah, Thursday next week. By the way, I'm not doing the show next Friday. This is a good excuse for me to tell everybody who listens to the show. I'm not here next Friday. So.
Oh, no.
No, see, don't pretend you didn't know about this already.
What?
Yeah, no, come on.
What is happening?
So I'm going to ask you just now, Phil, out of all the cars that you guys sell and out of all the cars that you've driven and that you know, because I've asked George to do some homework on the perfect car if, in the case of a zombie apocalypse. What sort of vehicle?
Because we do have to prepare.
We need to prepare. I mean, if things really go crazy and, like, let's say there's another virus, but this virus is deadly and it turns people into zombies, we need to know what car to take. So don't answer now.
Yeah.
Don't answer it now. But when George comes on we'll talk about that. Just by the way,
all right, I'll think about it.
Phil, what do you think of our idea of having like fat air and woke air and Sia wants to have a gay air and then we can have like no children air? You think that's quite a good idea? I mean, what do you think of that?
No, I love it. I mean, is there like a weight limit for fat air? I mean, is there like a minimum requirement if you want to get into fat air?
I reckon you can't be overweight. You have to be obese. So I would say if you're a man, you have to be over 125 kilograms. And if you're a woman, you probably have to be over 100, I'd say, maybe, to get onto fat air. And they just don't let thin people on.
Right.
I think that's they should not allow. And if thin people do want to go on fat air, they must charge them a fortune.
And just by the way, you know, fat air won't use a normal conventional Boeing, you know, like a lot of airlines use. No. They will be using they'll be reusing those army or military planes.
Correct.
You know, that open up at the back because you know, people need to roll into the plane. Yes.
Those Russian freight planes that have those huge big you know which ones I mean. Yeah.
Imagine being at the airport and you see that on the tarmac, just a conveyor belt of people.
With fat air written on the side.
Fat air, it's fair.
Fat air, it's fair. There we go. See, that's their tagline. You've even done their marketing for them. I love it. All right.
Thank you.
That's brilliant. Sia, you should be charging for that. You shouldn't just give that away for free. Fat air, it's fair. I love that. That's great. All right. So, hey, George, what's happening?
Hey, Gareth. Good morning. How's it, Phil? Hello, Sia.
Hi, George. How are you?
I have.
What is that?
Changed cars.
What have you got?
That is a Jaguar I-Pace.
Nice.
Electric.
Electric, full electric car. I've had it for a couple of days now, and I'm loving it. The cable plugged into the side of the car means that I can drive past the filling stations.
That's amazing. How far does it go again on a full battery?
So this particular this particular car, the I-Pace, does about anywhere between 400 and 470 kilometers, depending on how you drive. So the car's software calculates your last 50 kilometers of driving style, and then it adjusts your range based on your driving style. So at the moment, I'm getting about 400 Ks out of the car, because I think my right foot is still a little bit too heavy getting used to the you know, the instant torque that this car delivers. It's 90 kilowatts, so it's one of the bigger batteries on the market versus the Mini or the i3 or the lower end Porsche that I had the last time on the show.
Right.
And it does 0 to 100 in about 4.6 seconds.
I like the way you talk about like a lower end Porsche. I mean, do me a favor. Is there such a thing as a lower end Porsche? I mean, even Phil thinks that's
the one I had the last time, Gareth, was the single motor Porsche Taycan, which means it's only got one motor between the rear wheels, whereas the Porsche Taycan Turbo has two motors. So that's what I mean by the lower end Porsche. Not inferior.
No, okay, I get you. So, Phil, what do you think of electric cars? Do you guys sell quite a few of those? What's your feeling on them?
Well, yeah, I mean, so we got quite a lineup for next year. I mean, so we were supposed to start off with EQC, which is your GLC basically converted into a full electric. But yeah, I mean, with COVID and all, I mean, they've suspended the whole range. So we're going to have quite an exciting launch in 2022. George, I don't know if you've seen some pictures or so on the new EQS, which is which they've produced in Germany. Yeah.
Nice.
I've seen there are quite a few electric cars spotted to be coming to South Africa from next year and the year after. So it's going to be an exciting world, I think.
All right, George, before we get on to my question about the zombie apocalypse, what have you got for us this morning?
So, Gareth, first of all, somebody obviously in the United States decided in his infinite wisdom to fill 20-gallon jerry cans full of fuel, stick it in the back of his 2004 Hummer H2, and this lot set alight.
Oh, my God.
Now, fortunately, nobody was hurt, but by the time the fire department got there, the car was reduced to nothing.
By the way, this is all happening because there were fuel shortages on the East Coast in America, and people lost their minds. They were filling – I saw pictures. I don't know if this is nonsense or not, but I saw pictures of people with like a shopping bag, a plastic shopping bag that they were filling with fuel.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
You know how dangerous and stupid that
dangerous
is?
Dangerous, I mean, that is.
That is so stupid. You have to be – one of the dumbest people in the universe to actually do something like that. And, you know, America always comes to the party when it's dumb stuff like that. Well done, USA. America, M-U-R-I-C-A. Beautiful.
George, let me guess. Did this happen in Florida by any chance?
This happened in Citrus County.
Don't know where that is.
Citrus County. Yes, that is in Florida. It's in it's at Homer, a place called Homosassa, Florida.
There we go. All right. Well done, Sia. Well spotted.
Florida just is the gift that keeps on giving.
Sia knows his customers. All right. So you shouldn't do this. Let's just put out a public service announcement here. If we ever have fuel shortages, even in a jerry can, which is probably the safest way to transport fuel, don't fill 10 of them and then put them in the back of your car. You're basically driving an explosive. That's what you're doing.
Exactly.
Right.
You are. You're driving an explosive. You know, your fuel tank inside the car, Phil can attest to this, your fuel tank inside the car has been built to withstand an accident to a certain degree so that it doesn't explode. But jerry cans don't have the same sort of technology.
Sure. All right.
Yeah. And then a very, very, very good thing is happening at the moment. The South African government is looking to change the taxes on electric cars. So the Department of Trade and Industry released a green paper in this last week, and they are looking to reduce the ad valorem tax or duty on electric cars. Now, just to put that in perspective, an internal combustion engine car, when you import it, attracts about 18% import duty. And an electric car attracts about 25% import duty. But on top of the 25% import duty, you can pay up to 17% ad valorem tax, which is like a luxury tax. So the government's looking to reduce the ad valorem tax. And then also looking give tax relief based on the kilowatt hours of the car. Now, this is a 90 kilowatt hour car, so it's quite large. You get the BMW i3 or the Mini electric, which has about a 60 kilowatt is a 60 kilowatt hour car. So they're looking basically tax the car at a lower rate based on lower kilowatt hours. So this is all very good. I think more needs to be done, but at least something's happening, Gareth.
That's very good news. Mm-hmm. It's not often that we get a chance to say nice things about the government. Phil, you wanted to say something?
No. I'm excited. I mean, that will really help. I mean, so as you know, I mean, we've got quite a few manufacturers in South Africa as well that's exporting internal combustion engines to the rest of the world. So, I mean, that will actually open up a new door maybe for possibility that we can actually assemble some electric vehicles in South Africa as well.
That would be a plus.
Which will bring the price down even more.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, George, you've been beating that drum for a long time. We need to make the transition, otherwise we're going to be left behind. All right, guys.
We will lose that export. Go on.
No, so what's the charging time on the Jag?
So that's a very interesting question. So if I show you, the car comes with two cables. The first cable.
Oh jeez, he almost tripped and. Imagine if George tripped and fell on his and went unconscious while he's talking to us. That would be so.
Oh
bad.
My gosh!
Imagine.
No. The first cable is this cable you plug into the wall.
Okay.
Right? That's that cable. Effectively, you can plug into any plug socket. It charges the car at a rate of approximately 2.4 to 3.4 kilowatts.
Wow.
Which in a 90 kilowatt hour car will take about 30, 40 hours to charge from zero to full. I've got a fast charger installed. You can see it's on the wall there. I've still got to paint it. They've just installed it. And that takes the charge rate up to about 7.4 kilowatts. So I've been driving the car for the last couple of days, and you do a maximum of 60 to 100 k's a day in normal commuting. And at night when I get home, plug the car in, and it says to me 3 hours to full. So chances are, with the fast charger, each night all you need is 3 hours to fill the car. Now you might your next question might be cost. The cost of electricity in South Africa at a normal residential single-phase house like this is about R1.80 to R2 per kilowatt per unit. Mm-hmm. So you can see that a 90-kilowatt car is going to cost about R180 to R200 to fill and do 400 kilometers.
And that is a hell of a lot cheaper than the fuel if you had to go to the petrol station and fill up.
Yeah. 100%.
That's great.
Now, the even better solution is on my right-hand side here. I can't show you, but I've got a set of inverters and batteries and solar panels on the roof. Yesterday, I charged the car from 90% to 100% only using the sunshine.
George, you are an inspiration because the rest of us feel like we're still in the Stone Age. I mean, you've got everything sorted out there. You have fast chargers. You've got solar panels. I mean, Phil's basically sitting in the dark over there, and Sia and I haven't had power this week for 1 or 2 days. So we're all Neanderthals by comparison. All right, guys, are we ready to do the zombie apocalypse cars?
We are.
All right. Let's start off. George, you've got a few to go through here. So I've got all the pictures. Whenever you're ready, hit us with the first suggestion.
All right. So the first suggestion is a sportsmobile four-wheel drive. So if you have a look at this car, it's nice and it's raised. If you go and Google it, sportsmobile four-wheel drive, you'll see that.
Which one is that?
It's got a camping tent.
Just describe what it looks like, and I'll choose the right picture here. You've sent us.
It's the yellow one that looks like an old A-Team's passion wagon.
There we go. Look at that. It's got a tent. All right, that does look like a passion wagon, but it has big tires. It's got a spare wheel on the back. It's got a ladder. I don't like the ladder because zombies might be able to climb the ladder.
Might be able to climb the ladder, exactly. Okay. It's got four-wheel drive capability, and it's got beds inside. So you know, you don't need to necessarily leave the vehicle.
All right. Well, that's a good start. Okay, we like that. Very nice.
Now, the next one, which I think is probably the one that is the best on this list, is the Local Motors Rally Fighter. Now, that one is, it looks like a matte black car with four-wheel drive tires. It's got a red paint around its grill, Gareth. It's got a little bit of a T-top. So that car looks quite quick, and it looks like it can almost get anywhere.
Yeah, you see, you got that open top, though. I mean, zombies could reach in. What if you break down? I don't know. Hey.
And what's the storage situation like for this one?
Yeah.
Well, not very much, because you want to get away from the zombies, right? So this car was actually built for the desert. So it depends on where you are. If you find yourself in the desert with zombies, this car will get you away from them.
All right. That's not a bad
suggestion. George, I still need moisturizer. I still need at least snacks for the road. I still need a change of outfits. I mean,
that's an interesting vehicle. All right. What else have you got there on your list?
And then the next one is the Aston Martin DB9. Now, Aston Martin DB9 is a fast car. So if you find yourself being a city slicker and you want to get away from the zombies, the Aston Martin DB9 is on the list. It's not my favorite zombie getaway car, but it is incredibly
quick. With the blood and the bones and the teeth and the brains, and you're going to be driving into a lot of zombies. It's going to ruin this car. It's such a beautiful vehicle. You do not want to abuse this by driving it into zombies. I don't like this at all. That's a terrible suggestion.
But it seems like you could drive with James Bond in that car, it seems like.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Well, you know, if
I think so far the best one is that A-Team Passion Wagon. That's the yellow one. It's got to be in yellow though, so you know. That's good.
And then one I think that's going to trump the Passion Wagon is the Conquest Knight XV, which is a black, looks like a little bit of a Hummer, looks like a bit of a yes, that one.
Oh my god. Now we're talking. That is a car.
Now, that could be, it doesn't have to be bulletproof, but it could be axe proof.
This has displaced the Passion Wagon. This is definitely much better. Phil, this thing could easily take on zombies in this. It looks like it's already armor plated. It's got those huge lights on the top. Yeah. You could light up the space in front of you. You could see where the zombies are coming from. It looks like, you know, not too many zombie guts are going to get into the engine because it's got that grill on the front. This is good.
Mm. Yeah.
And then the next car, Gareth, is if you find yourself living near water and you need a getaway car, it is the Water Car Python.
Okay, here it is. Look at this.
Ooh. Now, wait a minute.
So the question is, can zombies swim? And if they can't, this is the perfect getaway car from zombies.
That is pretty cool. Now, is that thing completely amphibious?
It's completely amphibious. You can drive it on land, and you can ride it in the water, or what do you call driving a boat?
Sailing.
sailing a speedboat.
I really like that.
And then if you're a motorcycle type and you think that you need a getaway a motorcycle, the Triumph Rocket 3 Roadster is probably the one to go for. It looks like a little bit of a street fighter and maybe in the Mad Max era.
Phil, are you much of a motorbike enthusiast?
Well, no. I mean, I have quite a few friends. I mean, I was almost getting into it, and then got quite a few friends that got, hurt badly. So, skip that one.
Yeah, well, my parents said, no, you're exactly right. My parents said to me when I was a kid, there are only two things that we will not allow you to do while you live in our house. One is ride a motorbike, and the other one is get a piercing or a tattoo. And luckily, I didn't break any of their rules. I mean, there's nothing better than that feeling of being on a bike, and I have subsequently been on one, but you're either really into it and then you become super passionate about it and you spend fortunes of money. And, you know, there's some people whose whole life works around these bikes. But I do think in a zombie apocalypse, it might have its usefulness. I mean, it can get away quickly. It's much more, it could turn on a dime. Yeah, you can get through spaces that cars couldn't. I think it's not a bad idea to have one of those in reserve. That's a good one, George.
In your zombie reserve. The next one, Gareth, is the Mercedes-Benz Unimog.
Yes, now that's a car. Okay, is that the green one or the black and white one in these pictures?
It's the black and white one.
Ah, nice. There it is. There's the Unimog. There we are.
Mercedes-Benz Unimog. And I would imagine that could drive over quite a few zombies. Right. And you could have a gun turret on the back.
Yes. We're talking. Know. Yes, absolutely.
What is that even used for? That is like a truck transformer.
It is a bit of a truck chassis.
You want to say, Phil, because do you guys sell these? Say that again.
No, we sold a couple in the last, a couple of years ago, and it's quite often used in forestry.
Oh, yeah.
The Unimog's got a very called turning circles. So it's actually very useful when you're in the forest, in a pine forest or so, where it can turn easily around. So, yeah.
Now, George, that picture that you sent us of that Unimog, it's actually quite a deceiving picture because they're very, very high cars. They're very big. Those wheels are much, much bigger than a normal car's wheels.
It's pretty much a truck chassis. So if you think of the height of a truck, the Unimog is probably as high as that.
See, now what other show in the whole world would tell you how to avoid zombies? This is why we're so special, and we like to, you know, give you services no one else can. What else have we got? Last three.
Well, if you're on a budget, you really need to get away quickly, and you can't afford an anti-zombie car, the Narborg Trail Rider does.
All right.
So that particular electric skateboard, you want to call it, does 0 to 100 km/h an hour in 2 seconds. In 4 seconds, and beats 90% of cars.
Yeah, I just think you're very exposed. Sia, this is not one for you.
Not at all. You can't carry supplies here.
No.
The zombies have easy access to you. Mm. George, good tick in terms of being able to be agile and move quickly, but for everything else, mm-mm.
Yeah. So far, top of the pops for me is the Unimog. Have you got anything to compete with that? We've got the last two.
The last two. Okay, so I'll leave the best for last, but the second last is the Bugatti Veyron Supersport. Incredibly quick car if you've got some fast zombies. And this is probably going to go into your category of the Aston Martin, Gareth, where, you know, you don't want to mess the car up. But in a zombie war, I suppose it doesn't matter.
Hey, listen, Phil, the only reason you'd have this car is if you stole one from a dealership because you wanted to get some kicks and drive one of the most expensive cars in the world, right? There's no other reason.
Sure.
All right, the last one, George. What's the last one?
Last but not least, and I think this one trumps them all for me, and that is the Mercedes-Benz G-Wagon Lap V 6X.
Sure. There it is. Oh, six. That is the car. That's the one. Done. Done deal.
I think that's the zombie apocalypse car to have.
Well, it's so funny. Like Phil was talking about.
I'm going to pick up Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, I mean, Phil was saying earlier that's one of their most expensive cars. Not exactly this. This has been modified. But, you know, the G-Wagon is a really popular car, and it's expensive, and people love it. But look at how this one's been modified. It's so cool. That is what you need more than anything else.
Exactly. Well, there you have it. You can avoid the zombies in one of these in whichever way you want.
Awesome. Well, I love it. George, thank you so much. Phil, do you have any cars that we might have left out there that George hasn't covered that you would throw in before we go?
Yeah, well, yeah. George basically stole two of my ideas, but I need to be biased and probably stay with my brand. So I don't have a picture, but I'm sure you'll get the, if you're going to Google Mercedes-Benz cement mixer. You're going to probably get a picture of how
you. Mercedes-Benz cement mixer.
I'm Googling that right now.
All right. Let's see who gets the picture first. Is it an actual cement mixer, or is that just a nickname?
No. I think it's just something that's rugged. And it will probably get over some more too.
This is great. All right, now hang on. I've got to put this picture.
Well, you could put the zombies in the back and let the thing turn.
All right, hang on.
Oh my gosh.
That is a good idea. And you could put blades in there instead of a mixer. You could put like a thing that chops them up and spits them out down the chute. Yeah. You could throw whole zombies in, and it comes out as like a gravy. Zombie gravy.
I don't want to make a zombie salad.
No, it would be a zombie gravy. Trust me. Jesus, that's a hell of a thing. But that's not a bad suggestion, actually. Come to think of it. I mean, look at this thing. Let me put the picture up and you can see what we're all talking about. So it's what you'd expect, a cement mixer. But you imagine you have someone up on the tower. You basically, I mean, you could modify it to have like a thing in the front that sucks up the zombies, puts them into the mixer, chops them up, and then spits them out down the chute. And that could really get you some – that could save a lot of lives, human lives, not zombie ones. I love it. All right, gentlemen, it's been lots of fun. As always, we've had a ridiculous Friday. And George, thanks for doing all the research into zombie cars. Phil, great to see you again. We will talk on Monday at six o'clock. And have an excellent weekend, everybody. Be good. Cliffcentral.com.